being able to be with brothers and sisters, Lord, and come together and worship you, Lord. It's just a delight, Father, and I thank you, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us, continue to speak to us through your word, Lord. I pray, Father God, believing you for breakthroughs in our lives this season, Lord God, that is God honoring, Lord God, and that we're able to bring the testimony of Jesus, Lord, to bear, Lord God, in our lives. No matter where we're at, Lord God, I just thank you for the breakthrough. I thank you, Lord, that you're the God of the breakthrough. I thank you, Lord, that there's nothing, Lord, that can hold you back, Lord, when you're moving, Lord. There's nothing on this earth. There's nothing in the heavenly places, Lord. There's no human system or endeavor, Lord, that can stop God. And we just thank you that you're for us, that you're on our side, Lord, that you love us, that you care about everything that we cared about, Lord, you care about. No matter how small, Lord, no matter how forensic it is, Lord, or Father, no matter how big or mega it is, Lord, you care, Lord God. And we just pray that your thoughts would flow in this place. I love your Psalms when it says, Father, that your thoughts are beautiful, Lord God. How beautiful are your thoughts, Lord God. They're like this, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And I pray, Lord, like raindrops, Lord, your thoughts would drop into our minds and our hearts, Lord, as we sit under the preaching of your word, Father, that we would know the thoughts that you have towards us are for a hope and a future. Not for calamity, Lord God, but to prosper us, Lord God, to bring us into a knowledge of your Son. And we just open up our minds and our hearts to you, Lord, and we say, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. It's good to see some new faces who I don't even know and didn't get a chance. So I'm Pastor Noel. I'm Noel, who happens to be a pastor. And I lead Liberty Church. We're not just in here in Bray, but we're in four locations. And we're in Clondalkin, we're in Finglas, and we're in RD Street, which is south inner city Dublin. And I'd love to bring you reports. And before I bring you some report about some of the other things that's happening, is I'm absolutely blessed to hear of the last, what month is this? March. This is like the third month of the year. And you all thought I forgot what month it was, didn't you? Well, I sort of did. But 3 months, and Monday does an outreach going on here. Wednesday does an outreach going on here in the farm, mothers and toddlers. And Friday does an outreach going on here. And I just want to say, Liberty Bray, well done. I want to say, you're going to go for it. Because we exist to bless this community and reach the people of this community. And I'm just so pleasant and I'm so pleased to be able to, when I go to Liberty City, I tell about what yous are doing. And I'm just saying, I say with full, the pride of a father. Because what God has promised to do in Bray, like, everyone will hear about it. That's what he told us. And don't think small things are something to be looked over. Because small things are amazing. Small things can have such an effect. Just put a pebble in your shoe and walk along the seafront and see how effective a small thing can be. Give a text, a three-word text to somebody. Tell them that you love them and see how powerful little three words can be. Like, just never underestimate. And I felt during the worship, that as we were worshiping, I just had that sense of, and I'd love to be able to get on Google to know the facts, but they say that a storm can be started somewhere in another part of the world. Not a wind storm can be started by a butterfly flapping his wings. And what starts as a little just gust and a little force of air can move into the streams of starting a whole stream of flow of air and breeze and wind and whatever. That's how small it can be. And I also felt when I couldn't get the facts in my mind, so forgive me if that's a bit of a Wikipedia nonsense. But I know this one that the Lord put in my heart that do you ever go to a place and someone says something or do something. It could be from a funeral to a lecture in college to something someone just says, and you start clapping. Do you ever do that? But no one else claps. Yeah, you're the one that's like,
wow, I'm so inspired. And it's like, and sometimes it's not the right place to clap or whatever. And everyone looks at you. And I feel for now that in Bray that we're like applauding the king. And all the people don't know why we're really doing it, but they're looking. Because you ever get to another place where you do clap and you start her off. And everyone realizes, yeah, I should be clapping as well because that was powerful. And your clap gave them the permission to clap. And then their clap gave someone else the permission to clap. And it's all done in nanoseconds. And before you know it, the whole people are standing up and clapping and applauding. And I feel that for us in Bray, that like we're clapping and applauding the king. And it may look like 15 mothers coming on a Wednesday with their toddlers to a place, but we're clapping. And other people are looking on, why are they clapping? But eventually they get it. And they'll clap on and they'll come in and join the clap. So listen, dream your dreams. If it's in your heart for ministry, speak to Rob, speak to one of the leaders and say, look, this is what's in my heart to start. We're not stiflers in this church. If some of you want to get anything out of me, come to me with vision. If someone says, Rob says to me one time, if someone comes and says, Noel, do you want to reach out to the moon? I know what you're going to say. I'll find you a rocket. And if you want to know anything about me, that's the way I think and I operate. I don't think about where the money's going to come from. Let the elders worry about that. I don't think about how we're going to get there. Let the elders worry about that. All I know is we're getting there. Amen? Amen. Say a better amen than that.
Amen.
I just want to say a big thank you to everybody for your kindness. As you know, Sharon's dad passed away last Saturday, actually. And it's been a long battle for him of 7 years of pain and heartache and sickness, and yet in the midst of all of that, God had given this man more back in 7 years than he had in the previous 70. And I kid you not at that. And just what he had given him back was unbelievable and just so gracious of God. I was just thinking last night, a couple of months ago, his bowel burst inside of him. And he'd been in a respite home for months prior to that. And he had a disease that was going to kill him unless God healed him. And then on top of all this, his bowel burst. And we were in the hospital and they gave him no chance whatsoever to live or survive. And myself and Sharon went in to tell him he had a choice to either let them operate, which they'd give him no real chance to live, 10%, or allow the toxic that was inside him, that poison would kill him. And we said, Freddie, if you want to fight, Jesus will be with you. Do you want to fight? And he says, yeah. And he went through the operation and all that stuff. And then he was in the ICU, the inner sanctuary of the ICU. You know, if you know what that looks like more machines. And you have a nurse that just looks after you and watches you. And that's how ill you are. And he says, we're going to turn off the machine. And if he lives, he lives. If he dies, he dies. And they turned off all the machines and Freddie lived. And I just thought about that last night. And in the midst of all of this, his family that he hadn't seen, his brothers and sisters, through family circumstance that he hadn't seen for 37 years. Sharon was in with Becky, my daughter, who was getting married in September. They were in looking at a dress and a girl walks in. And Sharon looks at her and goes, she looks like my auntie on my dad's side. And Sharon ends up saying, are you such and such's daughter? And she says, yeah. And she says, I'm Freddie's daughter. And for the last 7 months, this family had been brought back together. Isn't that the most amazing thing? 1.6 million people live in Dublin. And these two people are in a wedding dress place. And when Becky came out, Sharon's bawling, crying. But Sharon's not a crying type of person. And the lady says to Becky, look, it's all right. Most mothers cry when they see their daughter in their wedding dress. And Becky says, listen, my ma's not crying over a dress. Believe me, there's something more after going on here. God is good. God is good. And what a breakthrough. And we're starting off, we started off a series called Breakthrough. Because I believe this, that the Lord spoke to me this year, at the beginning of this year, about breakthrough. That we believe in. God has spoken to us, and that wherever there's breakthrough needed, and you've been waiting on breakthrough, everything comes in seasons. And this is our seasons for breakthrough. And we're praying for you. The intercessory team is praying for breakthroughs and breakthroughs. So I want you today to take out your phone or your notepad. You can do it right now. I'm not going to tell you to turn off your phone today. Take it out. That's an order. And I want you to write something in as I'm speaking. Just as I'm speaking, things will come to you. And you go, I'm going to believe God for this breakthrough. And I just want you to write a note. Get out your notes, wherever that is on your phone. And write yourself a note. And the reason why I'm saying it on your phone, if you're writing it on a piece of paper, date it. Date today. And we're going to pray and we're going to believe God. And when God comes through with what you've written there, I want you to say thanks to him. I want you to give him praise. I want you to share it with somebody saying, look, this happened for me. And just to let you know that in our other two locations, in Finglas, next Saturday evening, we start their service out there, which is we've hired out a shop front in the village, and we're reaching out from there. We've already do kids clubs, we already do youth clubs, we already do a women's group, a men's group, we already do something else. Oh, yeah, the breakfast club out there. And so that's already happening. And then next Sunday evening in Clondalkin, we start their service. We're doing a run-through service in Clondalkin next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. We've been battling to get a land or to rent a building up there, and eventually we've got one. And then we do a run-through service next week at 6 o'clock up in Quarry Vale Community Centre. If I was building a church tomorrow, I would build this centre that I'm going to rent for 15 euros an hour for the next year or so. And so we're able to grow into that place. And over in Finglas, in our D Street, they've started some other things, but the one that really blesses me is that they've really got a breakthrough with the Shine program and the Strength program up in the schools. Up in Talla, Anna is leading one with Paul Martin and our son Adam, and they've just started their first boys' strength program, which is similar to Shine, but it's all for young guys. So instead of getting your nails painted to do like arm wrestling or something, I don't know, to show strength. And so it's really, really breakthroughs are happening. And also I got this off the men's group that's over in Finglas as an outreach. And I've sent it to as many people that's in my email address. So if you got it, you'll be blessed. But let me just read it out. This is from one of our guys, Stephen, that goes to it. He said, Noel, I led two people to Jesus tonight in the men's group, and both were filled with the Holy Spirit. It was kind of strange as both of them had similar stories. The two of them were hearing voices in their heads, and one of them was getting constantly tormented. Anyway, I explained the whole story and why Jesus died for them. The two guys were broken and wanted Jesus to come in and help them. The first guy said a prayer after me, and I asked God to fill him, and he did. It was lovely to look at. He said, I can feel all this heat and peace coming up my chest and into my head. I told him, you're born again. It was amazing to see the change in him right in front of my eyes. The other guy is on meds to try calm him down, plus three different psychiatrists he sees, and he said nothing's working, that he has tried everything. He was so tormented, it's hard to put into words. His eyes were black, his pupils covered his whole eye. It was mad looking. I'm just reading what Stephen wrote. I led him in the salvation prayer and then prayed for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He opened his eyes and said, what's happening to me? I can't feel my legs. I can feel this amazing sensation flowing through my body. I told him that was God touching his life and that he was now becoming born again. I looked at him and smiled and asked him, had the tormenting stopped? He said, yes, it's completely gone out of my head. And he felt peace like never before. He just looked at me and said, I feel like I'm getting washed inside. He was smiling from ear to ear. How great is our God? And why do I say all this stuff? It's because this is not the guys over in Finglas. This is us. We're Liberty. We're one church. And what happens over there, we celebrate. And what happens here, we celebrate. Because we're one family, just in different communities, reaching out to different communities. And to God be the glory. Amen. Well, let's get into the Word of God. If you want to look at Luke chapter 15, we're on our breakthrough series, and the Lord gave me this out of the prodigal son, would you believe it? And I'm sure if you looked on the internet and put in how many times would you say the prodigal son story is being preached, I guarantee you would be into the millions. Because if you took all the preachers all around the world throughout time and throughout history, everyone preaches on the prodigal son at some stage. So to get something fresh and new out of it, you know, like it has to be God. And because I'm sure someone even preached what I'm going to say, but I haven't preached and I've never seen it before. But the prodigal son got his breakthrough in a pigsty. And we're going to look at this. And you can get your breakthrough no matter where you are. That's how powerful God is. Doesn't matter whether you're in a pigsty or you're in a palace. If you need a breakthrough, God is able to get to you in that place. And but here's the rest of the story, and we're going to move into this in the second half of the year. He got his breakthrough within in the pigsty, but it was only sustained within his family. He got it in the pigsty, but it was only sustained in community. It wasn't, if he stayed there, I guarantee he would have been robbed. But he had a father to say, keep going, son. He had a purpose now. He had something to do with the rest of his life that he thought he wouldn't have had if he would have stayed in the pigsty. And that's how important community is. That's how important fellowship is. That's how important church is. It's because we sustain the breakthroughs that we get, no matter where we get them, but it sustains when we're together. Amen? And we'll move into that in the rest of the year. And you can look out, we were sitting down as a ministry team, as a preaching team, trying to come up with, you know, a nice name for this. And we're going to call it, do you remember, Andy? We're going to call it Light Bulb Moment. We're going to call it Eureka. We're going to call it Breakthrough Moments. And in the end, we just called it Breakthrough. And you can look at whatever genre you want, whether it's music, whether it's medical world, whether it's scientific, whether it's outer space. You can look at all these different subjects, and you will find that there's been breakthrough moment after breakthrough moment in different ways all around the world. And in fact, the breakthrough moment that the word that everyone uses is Eureka. That Eureka moment, it's an old word. It's an old, actually, I think it's a Greek word, and it's an ancient Greek word, and it means I found it. It means like I've broken through. So there's a great story of Archimedes who when he discovered boiling the bath, the whole discovery of buoyancy, why things float upon the water, that he was in the bath and he jumped up and he went, Eureka! Like, I found the answer. I've got a breakthrough. And history tells us he ran out into the street, starkers, absolutely in the nip, running around going, Eureka, Eureka, I found the breakthrough. I found it. It was hidden from me, but I have found it. And the breakthrough in God, the breakthrough in your life can come in so many different forms. It can be like the doors opened. That the thought pattern that you had, God interjected love or grace or mercy or wisdom into your situation where you can go, Eureka, I found it. Or have been given to me in God. And we're going to read through the prodigal son story. It should come up there. Carol, you just have to rub it. Eureka! There you go. The light is on. Jesus continued to tell these stories. In chapter 15 of Luke, he tells three stories about three lost things. And this is the third story. He said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got all he had together and set off. He set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and call to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of the hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and now is alive. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied. And your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father. He said, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never once disobeyed your orders. Yet you've never given me even a young goat to celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and now is alive. He was lost and now he is found. The breakthrough moment comes in his life when he comes to his senses and he says to himself, even my father's hard help have more than I have. That moment of, can you imagine him sitting there thinking, I've blown it? Can you imagine him sitting there at times when he longed to eat what the pigs were eating, thinking of what it was like being at home? Anyone ever got homesick? It's a novel thing, isn't it, homesick? And I remember I was in Romania, and I was there only for a week. And every day at 6 o'clock, I'd go into my little tent. It was up on the side of a mountain. We were doing this youth week. And every day at 6 o'clock, I'd go home. I'd go to my tent, and I only had a banana because the food wasn't the best. And anyway, I sit there eating a banana, and I just think about home. And these aches in my stomach just wanted to be out. Like, I was only away for a couple of days at this stage. And I was thinking that at home, Sharon would be at home. The girls would be around the table, and they'd be eating their dinner. And I was sitting there longing to be there, even though I was having a great time in this place. And you can imagine this prodigal son, who not just left for a week, but had cut off all his toys, burdened all his bridges. Imagine him sitting there looking at what the pigs are eating. And you can imagine the humiliation of a young Jewish boy sitting down with pigs. Absolute humiliation. But yes, so hungry, wanting to eat what they eat. And thinking, maybe he's thinking about his mom's shepherd's pie. Or the smell of the warm buns, bacon or something. Can you imagine him sitting there thinking, you know, hearing the voice of his dad. The tenderness of the dad's voice. Can you imagine him thinking about the banter he used to have with his brother and the hard hands? Maybe he thought this was his lot. Maybe he thought, I was going to be something special with this money that I was given. I was going to start a business. I was going to be the next best Israel's entrepreneur. That I'm going to go to the Dragon's Den and I'm going to present my business idea and they're going to give me the money and they're going to bank. Maybe he had these ideas of starting and breaking through in all different types of business, but yet he found himself in the middle of the pigsty, in the middle of a recession, although they called it a famine. All his dreams being dashed, maybe falling in with the wrong crowd, maybe making the wrong decisions, obviously, that led him to this place, thinking, this is my lot. And then he had a moment where he says, I'm going home. My father, he'll take me back, maybe not as a son, but he'll take me back as a hired hand. And I'll have food in my belly, and I'll hear the laughter, and I'll get the smell of the cooking again, but at least I'll be home. And in the midst of his darkness, in the midst of his wrong thinking, in the midst of his madness, that he had a thought, I'm going home. And to have some breakthroughs in our lives, that God wants to give us breakthrough thinking. You can put up the next slide. He wants to give us breakthrough thinking. He wants to, no matter where we're at, no matter what our breakthrough is needed, that we can be sitting at home. It's amazing where breakthroughs come, isn't it? You could be sitting. Driving. You could be in a dark place. You could be even in the bathroom. You could be in a lion's den. It's amazing where God's thinking can just interject into our thinking. And it's when we grab that moment and say, Eureka! God has spoken to me. And breakthrough thinking comes with doing the thinking. You know, do you ever go into a room and you go, now, you're going up to your ma's or there's someone fighting with you and you go, now, if she says this, I'm going to say this. You know that? And we just go in there in minds and we just have this banter with somebody. And I'm going to say, and what about when you said that? And look at the state of your hair and all that stuff. And you go into this like argument within yourself. And you end up getting more deeper because you're doing someone else's thinking. And it's usually wrong. Because that's where I have found It's usually wrong. And all that argument that you've worked yourself up, that when you get to them, you're just ready for a big row. And that person says, look, I'm sorry about that. And everything just melts. You're like, gosh, that's about 2 months of not sleep and putting the best argument, and one sorry can solve a lot of things. But God wants us, the Bible says this, that we can have the mind of Christ Jesus. So what does that look like or sound like? The mind of Christ Jesus sounds something like that, like this is not your end. This is not the way it finishes. That there's always a chapter with God. See, the reality is, it doesn't matter where your life is at. It doesn't matter where it began. It doesn't matter where you're at today. Where you're going, you have a happy ending. You have, we actually do live happy ever after. And sometimes we have to get an eternity perspective of living. Sometimes we have to get a perspective of, that look, in this life I will have troubles. But this is not it. This is part of it, but it's not it. That we actually do, and we have to get into thinking that, look, because when hopelessness knocks at the door when you're in a pigsty, it wants to tell you that this is all it is, that nobody loves you, nobody cares, there's no breakthroughs, but that's a big fat lie. Because Christ's thinking is, all things are possible with God's. That's when we think. So when whatever, if the breakthrough was not coming for a job, now all things are possible for God. If we're not getting in the right college, all things are possible with God. If we're not getting the breakthrough physically, all things are possible with God. And we can end up having an argument with God with all that. Well, God, you said. Well, you just repeat what I actually said. You just start building yourself up where I have actually said. You start thinking like me, because he's written it in his word so that we can actually know what he's thinking. Here's another way of thinking. Romans 8:28, it says, all things work together for the good of those who love God and called according to his purposes. That's divine thinking. Now, that's easy when everything is going well. But when everything is not going well and you're in a pigsty or you're waiting for your moment of breakthrough and everything around you says the opposite, you have to start thinking like God. No, all things, this will work out for the good. A little Nigerian guy in our church, and I always think you should say that like Nonzo. This will work out for my good. It doesn't sound right just being Irish. This will work out my good. We put the emphasis on the good and brings us into a depression. Like the good is not good. Or this little guy brings her up. That this will work out for my good. Something like that. And that's great when everything is going well, but when things are going wrong, that we need to find divine thinking. Do you know what? Being a bit clumsy and dozy and forgetful, I'm speaking about my testimony, it's actually a bit of an adventure. And I said to Sharon years ago, because taking drugs years ago sort of done something in my brain, and I'm a lot better now. But my memory used to be brutal. And like my memory's not brutal. I work in the kids' cafe over in Finglas every Thursday morning, and there's 40 boys in there, and I know all their names. So I haven't got a bad memory. I might have a cluttered brain, but I walk in there and I know all their names. But years ago I had a bad memory. And so one day the reason I'm saying this is that sometimes we just need to enjoy where we're at instead of like, look, I have a bad memory. We all get depressed about it. Or I forgot to pick up the kids. Let's have a big row. What's the big deal? Like, no. But someone will pick them up, Sharon. But I remember saying to Sharon one time, Sharon, why don't we celebrate my bad memory? Now, I want to tell you, if Sharon was here, you'd know by her face the amount of times she had death written over my life. And I said, because if not, we're just going to torment each other and fight about this stuff all the time. And then I'm so bad at memory, I'll forget what we were fighting about. And then you will fight with me because I didn't even remember. That wasn't that important enough to fight about. So we agreed. But it can be such an adventure. Like one time I was driving home, I forgot to put oil in the car and the engine blew up. And I was driving home from preaching down in Kildare. And I had Becky with me, and I think one of my other girls with me, and having to ring Sharon to tell her, like, was And I sat there, I couldn't get through to her. And I sat there and I was like, no, you can get up in arms about this. Or you can actually believe even your forgetfulness, God can work all things for the good. I wouldn't recommend that you don't put oil in an engine. But it was genuine forgetfulness on my behalf. And I sat there, and before I'd got Sharon, I'd already come to the conclusion, I'm not getting depressed about this. This is a car. This is, like, that's all it is. And so I'm going to believe that even my stupidity, God can turn that for the good. So I got on the phone, Sharon, the car's gone, we're getting a new one. Why, what's up with the car? The engine blew because I've got to put oil in it. And but it's all right, we'll get a new one. And I put the phone down. I had to come to conclusions, because if not, I was going to get depressed that I had no car and I needed a car to get the kids to school and all that stuff, whatever. And I kid you not, now this was like 80, 90, and I had no money. We were living by faith. The only money that came into our lives was through a letterbox. That's being honest. We had no money coming from nowhere. And I don't know how this got out, but within 15 days or less, I had £8,900 come through my letterbox specifically for the car. Not from one person, but from different people all over the place. Now, I don't know whether I would have gotten that if I would have gotten all freaked. But all I know is this, that the divine thinking that was already written in the Word, Romans 8:28, brought peace into my life and brought peace into my home as opposed to arguments over being forgetful. Scripture says he'll make a way even where there seems to be no way. Divine thinking. It's like that guy entered in, I'm going home. And something sparked off in him. Not that he just went home. He had divine hearing. That something was interjected into his depressive state of not being able to get out of it. That something was imparted into him that helped him spark off something of life and of energy that made him want to do something. And how do we hear God? I don't know how you hear God, but I know this. He speaks in so many different ways that it's just like putting the radio station onto the right station, and you hear the music that's coming out of that. And the right station is for God. It's like, Lord, I want to hear you. I desire to communicate with me. It's not like you have to go to a cave and fast for 40 days and get yourself all worked up. I'm going to hear from God. In fact, I find that when I do that, I put myself into a different place of not able to hear from God. But God can speak to you through nature, through planting thoughts in your mind, through reading the scriptures, in prayer. Like people that are waiting on the next step. Jim Cimbala, the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York, he says this, that the art of waiting on God for direction seems to be lost. It seems like we don't believe that God wants to actually give us the next step into our future. God has plans for our life, and the reality is he wants us to know the plans that he has for us. It's no good him just knowing them and us not knowing them. There's a huge disconnect in that position. But the reality is God wants to speak to us. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us one another. He's given us gifts in the body. He's given us the space to be able to go into worship him with song. You know what? Just having fellowship together. Just speaking. You know, do you ever get to a place where you come to church and you're not even expecting to hear that, and somehow somebody says something in their story that speaks to you in your story? Unbelievable. God can speak to you. One time I was in America, got lost. Forgot where I was going. Me, Sharon, and the kids in the middle of Fort Lauderdale. And Sharon says, where are we going now? We're going to stay in this fella's house. Who is this fella? I don't know. I met him in Dublin about a year ago. He's from Ballyferma. And we got on really well. And he says, if you're ever there, come over. So we went down to stay with him and his wife and his dog. And we gets over there. And I said, Sharon, like, there was this before sat-navs. I had a map and an address. And I said, Sharon, I have to admit, I'm lost. And I said, Lord, help us. How would you get whatever? And honestly, a little plane was in the air. And I wrote in the sky, Jesus loves you. Imagine, a plane wrote in the sky. And I said, oh my goodness, look at that, Sharon. And when we got to your man's estate, we rang and we got there. And that thing in the sky was over your man's estate. It was the creepiest, greatest, strangest thing you could ever imagine. But here's what I'm trying to say. If God wants to write it in the sky for you, he can get some fella in the plane to get up there and to do it. He wants to get his voice to us. I don't know about you, but for me, it's usually true nature. It's usually true the strangest, most beautiful little things that somehow I look at a little robin redbreast and God speaks to me or something. I'm like, wow, how does it work? He will speak to you in a way that you will know it's him. When I first became a Christian, my friend says, Noel, ask God to show you who he is. Because he wants to. And I was working in the bookies at the time. Down Ringsend, the number 3 bus is like the worst bus in the world. And my boss said to me this particular Saturday, me and my friend Noah, don't be late today. This bus was always late. We used to walk to work rather than waiting the bus. But this Saturday, I got in there at 9 o'clock, didn't have to be there until 10 o'clock. Gets there, there's lots of people at the bus stop, which was unusual. And I'm like, I know what that meant. It meant buses were supposed to come that didn't come. And it was kept swelling up with, you know, amount of buses that was supposed to be there. And I'm standing there and I remember what my friend Mick says to me. Ask God to show you he's real. And I says, God, if you're real, I'll give God an easy one. If you're real, will you send a bus around that corner? Because Dermot and the manager was going to lift us over. So anyway, I'm waiting there. And next minute, a red BMW came around the corner and stopped at the bus stop. Now, there's loads of people. And this girl says to me, that fella is pointing at you. And I says, oh, he's not pointing at me. I don't know anyone in a BMW. It must be you. He says, no, he's pointing at you. So I walked over and I get to the car and he goes, oh, I thought you were someone else, he says. He says, where are you going anyway? I said, Ringsend. And he says, hop in, I'll bring you there. God didn't send me a bus. He sent me a chauffeur. Now, if I said now and the bus came around the corner, you'd have gone, no. That's an easy one. He knows how to get you to know that he's speaking to you, that he's real. And in the breakthrough, we have to have hearing. We have to have our ears open to go, Lord, speak to me. I'm open for you to speak to me. Don't let your expectation turn into frustration. Because I find when we do all the religious stuff, I need to hear from God. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I find I'm sticking my fingers in my ear and I can't hear him. Where it's like, Lord, in your time, in your space, wherever place, I'm open to hear from you. And I find that he does that. Amen? And I believe God wants to give breakthrough wisdom. He wants to give us wisdom in situations that we don't know yet how to get out of. And God just puts a thought in and goes, that's how to do it. Do you remember Solomon? He had divine wisdom. It wasn't the wisdom of man. It was the wisdom of God. And James says this, that if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives out generous portions of this wisdom. So we have to understand that God wants to give us wisdom. No matter what it is, I believe that the breakthroughs in science, in medical world, in computer world, in whatever world you want to think of, I believe God wants to give that to believers. I really do. I believe with all my heart that God wants to give you and me the next breakthrough in this world. If we ask him for it, because it's there. And then the young fella got up. Because there's no good having wisdom, there's no good having hearing, there's no good having ideas unless there's breakthrough steps to take. The challenge was, are you going to sit there with your breakthrough and your pigsty, or are you going to get up and do something about it? And I find there's loads of times in my life when I hear from God and I sit there without actually taking a step. And we need to start taking steps into what God has given us. I'm going to do it. The challenge is, I'm going to get up. I'm going to leave the pigsty. I'm going to start walking. Because believe me, he wasn't getting the dart or the tube or the taxi to where his dad was. This fella had to walk. This fella had smelt like pigs. This fella had been living in a pigsty for such a long time. You can imagine him just sitting there and just, no, I can't. And the voice in his head going, well, what will your brother say? And what will your dad say when you get there? And you have to overcome other voices to hear the voice of God and to step out. Because there's other voices that will say, that's stupid, that's crazy. Why would God want you to do that? Does God even speak to people today? And you end up just staying in the pigsty. Here's a true story. A friend of mine lived in the flats. His nephew was a friend of mine. But this man's a lot older. But he ended up a married man, an alcoholic, ended up living on the streets of Dublin. Ended up the boardwalk at the Liffey, that was his spot. And people would see him, we'd see him, whatever, but that's what he chose to do with his life. Left his wife and kids, or they couldn't put up anymore, or whatever it was. Out there about 3 years, and an American couple were walking along the boardwalk, and they bought him a sandwich, and they sat down, and a cup of tea, and they sat down, and they said, look, can we help you with a cup of tea, and whatever. And he told them their story. And here's the truth of it. The woman says to him, why don't you go home? So he did. He went home. And his wife took him back in, gave him a spare room. You know, he's now a playwright. He writes plays. I think it's the greatest. Why don't you go home? What do I think of that? He went home. Stored. His sanity restored. His relationship with his children restored. Because he acted on an idea that was imparted into him by someone else. Why don't you go home? Yeah, all right. I went home. He now writes plays. He was on the Late Late Show recently. Unbelievable. Taking up the challenge of not just hearing from God, but going home, taking the baby steps. Do you remember that game years ago? Did you just play that joint steps? What, did you just have another name for it? Was it joint steps? Did you take a baby step or a joint step or a spit in the bucket? Yeah, I thought that was just me. Or what's it, run and jump? You have to take the baby steps. It's okay, God, I hear you. I hear the other voices that are saying, don't this, don't do, stay there. What will happen? I'm going home. He gets up and he goes home and his father welcomes him into the fold. And the breakthrough moment was unfolding. As he was walking, his dad was prepared. The brother was getting prepared. The calf was getting prepared. The music was getting prepared. And this is what you find as you take your steps, that God unfolds it and unfolds it. And your life and my life, when where breakthrough comes, the only way I can describe it in my life, that there's an overflow from the breakthrough. That other people get blessed out of your story or of what you bring home. Imagine all the hired hands was received from the overflow of his breakthrough. They had a party. They had a celebration. The fatted calf wasn't killed just for anybody or anything. That was like Christmas and Thanksgiving wrapped into one, that we're going to have the greatest hooly you can ever imagine because this boy is home. Everyone falls in. You know, the first computers that was built around the end of the Second World War were large enough to fit in this room, computers. Can you imagine what we have today? iPads and iPhones, and you can imagine like that. This was one computer, just this room. And the breakthroughs came, and over years they shrunk in size. But you and I would know who Steve Jobs is. We'd know he's the guy, the Apple guy, and you know, and there's other famous names around computers. But there's this guy, he was a Navy radar technician, and his name was Douglas Engelbart. And Engelbart, according to like people like Warren Bennis and people like that, that he was the one who had two incredible breakthroughs regarding computers. The two breakthroughs was the mouse that we see and we use. That was one of his breakthroughs. And the second was Windows. And nobody knows who Engelbart really is today. But because of his breakthrough, he hasn't gained, you know, popularity. His name is not written up on the backs of computers or whatever. But because of his breakthrough, the overflow 20 years later to the likes of Apple and other computer companies, that millions, if not billions, are blessed out of the overflow of one man's breakthrough. And every time we get a breakthrough, I want to tell you that there's someone else going to be blessed out of what you've received or I've received from God. And God wants to do this in the midst of these months to give us breakthrough thinking. Look, my thinking is not good enough. Your thinking is not good enough. But God wants to give you his thinking. That's what the Bible says, that we can have the mind of Christ. He wants to give us breakthrough here, and he wants us to hear him with the steps to breakthrough. He wants to give us wisdom. You go, I can't get out of this. It's a conundrum within a crossword. It's cryptic. I can't seem to find my way out of it. God wants to give you the wisdom to be able to prepare yourself for the breakthrough steps. And as we go, you might say, you know what, Noel, I'm walking, believing for breakthrough. It's unfolding. He started off taking a step. But as he walked, as I'm going home, imagine the voices in his head. Like, his brother was a bit of an anarchy guy, wasn't he? Like, when you read him and you go, my goodness, he had a chip on his shoulder, that lad. Imagine him in his head, you know that older brother of mine, he's always looking down on me. He's always, see, the breakthrough was unfolding. He had to say, no, I don't care what he says. I'm not going to deal with what people's thinking. I'm not going to let them push me back. I'm going to trust that what my father is like, what I know he's like is the way he's going to greet me. And we have to believe that the Father has something good on that end of the walk for you and I. That's divine thinking. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we're not on our own. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing too difficult for you. Let's stand. There's nothing too difficult for God. I want you to write in your notes. I want you to write a date. Whatever things you're believing for, please put them in your notes today. Please put them in. This is what I'm believing for. Here's the beauty of the prodigal son. There's nobody too far gone for God. Nobody. You might see somebody living in the pigsty go, they're not even interested. See, God knows different. So write someone down who you're praying for. Let's not make about my breakthrough, but pray for someone else's breakthrough. Lord, I just know this young man is far off. And your input can be even keeping them alive till God comes through. There's a young man, do you ever feel like you're keeping someone alive? There's a young man that is in my world and I feel like I'm keeping him alive. It feels like I'm trying to breathe out of one set of lungs for two people. And it's wearisome and it's distressing. A couple of weeks ago, I get a text from him. I'm up in the mountains with a shotgun. I'm going to kill myself. And you breathe heavy. You try to keep them alive. I was talking to him yesterday, face to face, and I told him, I said, look, I feel like you're wearing me out. And I says, and I think when I send you anything about God, that you're on the other end thinking, if he sends me out and says anything about God again, I'm going to just delete him. And he says, please don't stop saying things about God to me. That's what's keeping me. That's what brings me out of this state of despair. And it might be someone that you're keeping alive just by a text. Just by, don't stop talking about God. Believe me, all the human wisdom in the world, it's good, but it's not good enough. It will get people to a certain place, but when you start sending God stuff, it breathes life in. And he says to me, don't stop doing that bit. I encourage you as you write a name down, think of them, pray for them, send something to them. It might be just what they're waiting for in their pigsty. And I just pronounce over you in Jesus' name that your breakthrough is in this season. I pray for your ears to hear and your eyes to be open to see and courage in your heart to take that step. The ability and the power to shut off every other voice that keeps you in the pigsty, that cuts them off, and you follow what God has said to you. And I pray that you would celebrate, enjoy, journey in the adventure as your breakthrough unfolds. And I pray at the other end that just like the prodigal son, you will have celebration this season. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Guys, thanks for listening. Please stay with us for a cup of tea and a chat and a coffee. Thank you.